Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to episode 229 of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with Guy Charnock. Did you have a nice Easter weekend, pal?
You know what, Rick? I did, and I ate too much chocolate.
Wow.
You know what as well annoyed me this Easter? Let me tell you what annoyed me about Easter.
Go on.
So, since January, I have been having a lot of Easter eggs, I'll be honest. Since they first hit the shelves in the UK, I've been committed. And my go-to is in the small mini egg Easter egg, okay?
Normally over here in the UK, they come out in about November time.
Yeah.
But go on. Early. So January, you
about
started.
January, yeah. New year, new me, okay?
Started your Easter egg addiction, should we call
correct.
It?
Correct. And there's a good one that was about £1.50, however, with a Tesco club card after £1.25. And it was a small mini egg with about half a dozen little eggs inside the egg. About 520 calories, not that I'm counting. It got to the point where nearly every single night after tea, I'd eat quite healthy through the day, as I'm sure you can somewhat attest to. Come to the evening, feet up, 7:30, bang, egg, gone. 3 minutes, done, flat. Then, on about Easter, what would be called Easter Thursday.
That's quite slow for you. Very fast eater.
Got to enjoy it. The Thursday before Good Friday, whatever name that has, that's called Easter Thursday. I went to Tesco to get my usual egg. There's all these casuals all huddling around the Easter egg aisle. Bang, bang. Where were you on a wet January evening? There was no eggs left. So, in the
That's
end...
That's one of the funniest things you've ever said.
Yeah, so I had a couple of eggs over Easter, but now it stops. It's Tuesday the 2nd of April as we record this. I'm done with chocolate.
Oh my goodness, that is hilarious. So you got pushed out by the actual hardcore Easter egg people.
They've had all this time to buy their egg and they just go on the couple of days before. Anyway, yeah, but before we come on to your weekend, which I'm very keen to hear, Rick, we've had an email from a message off Gareth Goodchild. He said, Guy Charnock, can we lose the football chat at the start of each podcast? I listen for golf chatter, not football. It's ruining the podcast for me. Thanks. So that's from Gareth Goodchild. Gareth will be happy to know today from me, although Liverpool did win at the weekend, there's no football chat at all. However, on Friday, Good Friday, the mighty St. Helens Rugby League Football Club beat Wigan in the derby, the Good Friday derby, 12-4. And I watched every single second of it and loved it because, as you know, Rick, I'm a massive Rugby League fan. A few of the Saints lads watched some of the videos as well, which is good. So massive shout out to Saints because I'm now a die hard rugby league fan, and you've always said that about me, haven't you?
Always.
When someone says Guy Chant, you say rugby league fan.
I said Guy Chant, well, he's the Easter egg eating rugby league fan.
Correct.
Well, that's ruined my whole story. What did Goodchild, Mr. Yes. Goodchild, because so I was actually going to give you minute by minute play by play of the Manchester United Brentford game. Yep. And then also the Liverpool versus
Brighton
game, and then the obviously Arsenal versus City game. Well, so that's ruined my whole podcast
when
vibe.
People ask me about Rick Shields, I do say golf, I do say YouTube, but your tactical analysis of football and your obsession with the Christmas tree formation is often what I go to.
I genuinely have. I don't know what it is. I honestly don't know what it is. I never, ever watched football. Hardly ever, anyway. Mm-hmm. I'd watch United, definitely. Not all the time, though.
Yeah.
I would never, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, would never watch a random game of football ever.
Same.
In my life. It's changed.
Really?
It's changed.
And what is it you're looking for? What is it you're appreciating?
I don't know. I do like last-minute winners.
Mm.
So I'm a big fan of last-minute winners, but I also do just enjoy watching it for some reason right now. Wow. I've watched the Arsenal City game. I was very disappointed with the game, but I watched it. I don't know what it is. But apart from watching probably 4 hours of football this weekend, I had probably one of my most productive weekends ever, Guy.
Wow.
Long weekend.
Yeah.
Spring is in the air. The
spring
clocks,
sprung.
The clocks sprung forward. I spent probably as much time, if not more time, watching football than having a real clear out at home.
Mm.
And it's satisfying.
You're the kind of guy, and I think I know you well enough to say this, where you don't like to clean or do something like this often, but when you do it, oh my days, there's no stopping you.
Different level. I found my lost, I could have bought another bottle, granted, but I found my lost bottle of DW40.
WD-40.
That's the one.
Yep. That's how much you use it.
I actually found three bottles of it. There is not a door in my house now that squeaks.
Just so smooth.
Oh. Oh.
Like a hot knife through butter.
Where in the past it's like, every door. Now, you don't even know it's opened.
Wow.
So it's incredible. So I've been very productive this weekend. It was also mine and Claire's 11th year wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was nice, actually, because 11 years ago when we did get married, it was also Easter weekend. So actually the formation of the days fell exactly the same.
Wow.
We didn't do anything special. In fact, this whole weekend, it was my 11th year wedding anniversary. It was Easter weekend. And all funny, I didn't receive a single gift or present or egg.
Not an egg?
Nothing.
Oh my
gosh. Me and Claire don't give eggs to each other. We just kind of slyly nick the kids if they've got a spare one.
Did they get a lot of kids?
Not massively amounts. No, we're not.
Aww.
I think back in the day, I remember getting like 15 eggs. do you remember that growing up? I remember.
My nieces got spoiled.
Literally having like a table full of eggs and they'd last till June. Now, they don't. We get them very small amounts. Mm. They eat them, done. In the past, we've left it where they've had extra spare eggs. You go have a look at them in 3 months, they're out of date.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that? Easter eggs are out of date from April the 2nd.
I've heard a rumour that Easter eggs have more sugar in them, which helps them keep the shape. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But there is something about, hence my addiction, the chocolate from an Easter egg is just different to normal chocolate. It's just Moorish.
So good.
Anyway. I also, this weekend, and you might see my Instagram story, I got my little girl in the garden playing golf.
Yes, I saw her trick shot.
Yeah, she hit it off her foot into the hole. Intentional, obviously. But my theory is, she might grow up and hate golf. That might be the case. Hope it's not. I'd like her to play golf. She can't really walk yet. She can do a handful of steps, and that's about it. She can't properly walk. I wouldn't class her as walking. However, she's hitting golf balls to a degree, loosely, with one hand. I want it that if she ever does get really good, and if she ever got on the LPGA tour or whatever, that I can say she was hitting golf balls before she could walk. So that's my mission, so that she can hit a golf ball before she can properly walk.
Oh, she accomplished that this week.
Well, exactly.
All right, well
so
done.
I've got it on camera. So if and when she is the female best golf, well, maybe just the best golf in the world, period, regardless of gender, if she gets that good, I can say, yeah, I taught her. A few tips off Rick.
I love it. Yeah. 20 majors
with these juggle around my mouth.
Well, actually, just on that point, I can't do it next weekend. I'm actually on a stag do.
You're on a stag do?
I'm on a stag do, and I'm going to a football match for my stag do.
You're such a lad.
I know. Oh, in fact, the stag doesn't know that, but I don't think he listens.
Have you got a Stone Island jacket?
I've got plenty of Lyle and Scott.
I think a little Lyle and maybe a Stone Island over the top. Well, take a vape for the day as well.
Do you not know what game I'm going to?
I do, actually, yeah. But tell the audience.
No, because I don't know. I don't, because the stag doesn't know.
Oh, okay.
And also,
right, okay.
It's next Sunday and it's not in this country. That's all I'm going
to
say.
It's the kind of game I imagine where you do need a Stone Island to look a bit hard. Have you got a hard... Let's see your face you're pulling in the crowd, just in case I was... If I'm a fan, I'm going to mess with you. What?
Well, there's no... No, I'll give it away.
All right, well, yeah, okay.
I'm probably, like, gone corporate.
Walking around said streets of city, then. How are we going to walk? Bit of shoulder, bit of Conor McGregor? Or just going to keep your head down? Keep your head down.
Because I think, again, if I show what country I'm actually from in said country, that also might not go down well. So, who knows if I ever even come back from this weekend? Who knows?
But I'm looking forward to you in the prawn sandwich brigade while you sat there analysing the play as well. Saying, "I wonder, why did you play it passing to him? Passing it backwards, play forward."
Well, I think I'm in the director's suite as well, so I'll be able to have a little word with the director. Yep. Kind of, hey, can we make a few changes here?
You know what? It makes me sick. There'll be people who wanted to go to this game, which we won't mention, for years, 20, 30, 40 years, and never got around to it. You decide last minute, I want to go to that game next thing you're in the director's box. That's not normal.
Oops. What I was going to say, though, just very quickly, I'm actually going to start golf coaching again next weekend, or the weekend after, or maybe even the weekend after that.
Who are you coaching?
My three children.
Oh, nice.
I've decided they're showing enough of an interest. If I say let's go to the driving range, they're always super keen. But I do feel like now they need a little bit more guidance in technique. So I've got a home simulator, very lucky. So I'm going to do an hour a week and then have 20 minutes each.
Nice.
A little one-on-one time and see if we can...
That'd be quite good.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun until I start screaming at them and shouting at them and they're not listening. But
it's funny though when you see some of these kids, even like maybe PJ Tour stars who have similar swings to the parents. I can't remember who it was now. I saw someone recently who said, it might have been, don't quote me, it might have been Justin Thomas or somebody whose dad is a good player as well. And the swing looked, you can definitely tell it was the child. And you could obviously argue Tiger and Charlie is
and John Daly and John Daly Jr.
Imagine if your children have your swing.
Oh yeah. Ouch.
Who knows?
Maybe I'll teach them better than that. anyway, that's enough football kids Easter egg chat. Let's talk more about golf.
Okay, well, we know that next week you're jetting off to Augusta National for the Masters. And I think, you know, we joke sometimes that the Masters is either the first or second best major, depending on the time of year. And there's no doubt, I think, that the excitement for the Masters trumps every of them, even the Open, because it's the first one of the year and there's not been a major for like 8 months or whatever. But we've had a question on the Facebook group. Again, we will come into more of these questions on the Clubhouse episode, which is doing very nicely. So everybody, if you're not aware of this, we have this podcast out on a Tuesday, and then we have the Clubhouse episode on a Friday as well, which isn't filmed. However, we might film some of the clips for the YouTube channel. But one question, Rick, for this podcast, and it's a good one, actually, is from Alexander Larby. He says, ask most amateur golfers which course they would play if they could choose from any course in the world, and they would say
Augusta National.
Augusta National. If you ask tour players their favourite course in the world, I've actually heard very few say Augusta National. Having played so many courses now, Rick, around the world, do you consider Augusta National to be your favourite? And could you perhaps offer insight as to why tour pros don't rate Augusta as highly as you might expect? Could it be that Augusta is too hard in tournament play, or do they tend to associate their favourite course with somewhere they've won or played very well? What a great question.
That is a great question. I would unpack that a few different ways. Let me start off by, and again, we did plenty of podcasts on this last year, Augusta National is the best golf course I've ever played. Been very, very lucky to play. The quality of the whole venue is just exceptional. The experience, and you've got to remember the very few amateurs that get to play it or not tournament players that get to play it are in such a lucky, privileged position that almost that does absorb a lot of your senses. Like, you're literally walking down the fairway in disbelief. Like, I was playing it going, I can't believe right now, this is, as you mentioned, probably most golfers' number one golf course they ever want to play. And I'm out here playing it today, which is just out of this world. But what's fascinating about Augusta as a fan of golf is that you've watched the Masters so much that you properly know the golf course. Like, I knew every single hole on that golf course, and I've never played it before last year, where there's probably not many golf courses you can really do that on. You know, Pebble Beach, okay? I know a few holes at Pebble Beach, but I don't know every single hole at Pebble Beach.
No.
Even the old course, I've been fortunate enough to play the old course, as you have a number of times now. If someone said to you, what's the 12th hole at the old course? You have to think a little bit, don't you?
Yeah.
It doesn't come straight to your brain straight away. Where if I said, what's the 16th at Augusta National? It's
the par three.
Yeah. It's like, it's so almost ingrained into our memory. So I think a lot of that has a part in playing on this. Obviously, the condition of the golf course is spectacular. It really, really is. And each and every hole at Augusta National is so unique and different. It is a real standout venue. The one thing, if I had a criticism of Augusta National, and this is normally where I, when I look at my other favourite golf course I've ever played, Kings Barnes, Trump International, I'm trying to think of other examples, even the old course to some degree, a lot of the actual surroundings elevate the experience for me. Kings Barnes is an amazing, incredible golf course, but the views, as you know, are absolutely just out of this world. You don't get that at Augusta National. You don't get scenery of the ocean or mountain views. It's like you're basically in a plot in the middle of like Augusta. It's you don't see anything else. You don't know the main road outside because these trees on the perimeter are so big. So you don't get to see about that. I think the other thing from a tour player's point of view, is it almost the cool thing not to say Augusta National?
Yeah.
Is it almost the cool thing? Because that's probably the answer that most people are expecting. And is it the cool thing to not say Augusta?
That's a good point. I suppose the other thing as well is, when you think about why a golf course is your favourite in terms of whoever this is who's judging, there's lots that comes into it. And I think for the average person, and we'll actually put you in this bracket as well, because I know you get to play some amazing golf courses, but even if someone said to you 2 years ago, will you ever get to play Augusta National? I think your answer would be, I hope so, and there is a chance I will. For the average person, there's no chance they will, really, let's be totally honest.
It's very challenging.
So I think even for you who has played it and may go on to play it again at some point, I think the fact that you have played it is almost like you can't believe it. Like, you've grown up watching that golf. And I think inevitably that is always then going to rank it at your number one. And I think for most people who have played the old course, who are normal people, the old course probably goes there number one because you've played the old course, you've hit the iconic first tee shot, you've played the road hole, you've walked down 18 over the Swilcombe Burn and the bridge. It's that almost, like for me, there's no way the old course is the best course in the world, but that experience is my best experience, which you very kindly treated me to. And when you look here, there's a website I love, which is the top 100 golf courses. It's actually got globally Augusta at number 12.
That's mad.
And you've got one is Cypress Point, Pine Valley, Royal County Down, Shinnecock Hills, National Golf Links of America, Royal Melbourne, St Andrews, Oakmont, Sand Hills, Trump Turnberry, Muirfield, and Augusta. Now, I guess this is...
What's bad? Sorry, I've only played two of those.
Muirfield.
Well, no, I've...
We played Muirfield.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Muirfield and St Andrews, obviously, yeah. Augusta. Yeah, so
you've done three. But... that is obviously done off things like the architecture and all this other. I find it hard to believe that Augusta's number 12 in that list.
I find that hard to believe.
But
I'm with all due respect, and I say this very, 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 very respectfully, in my opinion, Augusta National is better than the other two golf courses I've played in that list.
If then you found out that anybody, not just yourself, anybody could play there, and it was kind of a bit like the old course, it was difficult to do, but you can, would that go down?
It could be, yeah. If it didn't hold the Masters, would it go down? Possibly. So then, but is that not all wrapped up?
Well, see,
up
that's
into
the
that?
Point then.
Is
that if you've almost got up? The whole wrap-up bit, which what we're saying, I think therefore Augusta goes number one and the old course is so high up. If, and you can't, if you could remove all that packaging around it and you went purely off the golf course... would the old course, and in this case Augusta, be as high?
The old course, definitely not as high.
No.
If you lifted the footprints of the old course up and you moved it somewhere else and it didn't have the history and it wasn't home of golf and it wasn't in that plot and you dropped it somewhere else and didn't hold the open every 5 years, it would not be ranked. I'm going to be careful what I say here, but it definitely wouldn't be ranked as high as it is on that list.
But again, back to the original question, that is the point. When you go to a golf course, most people, unless you're an absolute golf architecture nerd, you're looking at the whole day, the experience, the pulling up in the drive, the photograph you can take, the feelings that you might get irrespective of how you play. It's the whole package. I think with that being said, again, I've never played Augusta, obviously, that must be why Augusta has to be one or two, whatever.
I think for players, certainly if they've played the Masters quite a few times, I suppose the more times you play it, the less special it becomes.
Well, yeah. And is there almost two questions? Is there, what's your favourite golf course? In which, for me, if you asked me that question now, the old course wouldn't be number one. If you said, what's your favourite golf experience out of everything I've played, old course would be number one.
Did you see this weekend? For 3 days of the four this weekend, Friday, Saturday, not Sunday, Monday, the old course opened its doors to a very selected few, which I'm a little bit gutted I didn't get invited to, albeit there was chats about me being invited to it, but the invitation never arrived, is the old course was played in reverse.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, and Monday.
You've been there, done that.
I've done it. Listen, guy,
with
I have,
Woo Lee,
granted,
Tom Watson.
And I did it on a Sunday.
Correct.
But it would have been a hell of an experience. It, it's it's such a crazy concept, and it's still to this day at the course that apparently Tiger Woods is desperate to play. It's a shame he couldn't make the trip over and play.
With you? That was the plan?
I'm sure his invite, like mine, probably was lost somewhere. But the fact you play it in reverse, and it would have been such a, I don't know, just a cool experience. It's a shame. I saw some clips. I don't think the weather was great up in Scotland this weekend, which was a shame, but it's authentic. I would still love to see maybe an Open Championship one time played there in reverse.
For 150, if that would have been phenomenal.
It would have been.
I suppose the infrastructure would be the difficult thing. Would it change much, actually?
It would a little bit. Because you remember when I was lucky enough to play it with Tom. But I don't think it's a massive switch around, really.
Maybe one day.
Maybe.
Right, you need to close your laptop for this. So, oh, bang, that was done well. So, we've just been talking about the Masters. The Masters is obviously, we'll do a Masters edition next week, I think, because you are going. Whether we'll, yeah, how we fit that in,
I've
I don't know.
I've just double checked my flight. I can't remember if I'm flying the Monday or the Tuesday. So, if I fly on the Tuesday, we can do a full length episode on the Monday.
Okay, right. We'll have to do one. Yeah, we'll fix it. Anyway, Mike, a little quiz for you. Not crazy hard. I want you to try and name in order.
Oh, my God.
Every Masters winner ever, no, from 2014.
Oh, Jesus.
I can give you some hints along the way, and people at home in the car, whatever, feel free to jump in. Some people will have already said it. They'll have gone, bang, 2014.
Oh, my God, right. Well, let me just work a few things out. I know 2015 was Jordan Spieth.
Right, okay, I'll give you that then. We'll do it in out of order, but I'll give you that. But you have to go back and do them, though. But that is correct.
2014, Zach Johnson?
Nope.
Bubba Watson?
Correct. So you've got Bubba, 2014. Bubba, you've then got Spieth, 15, which you've just said, 16.
Was that Zach Johnson?
No.
Phil Mickelson?
No.
Oh, my God. I thought I'd be better at this.
You're not the best with dates, though. That's the thing.
2016.
Have a think. I'll give you a clue in a minute if you need it.
I won't need a clue.
You won't need a clue.
Okay. Can I go the other way? Can I go in reverse order?
Okay, I'll let you off then.
So last year, John Rahm.
Correct.
The year before that was... God, why have I forgotten the year before that already? They went to live.
No, they didn't.
Oh. Oh, my God. My memory is so bad.
Right, so this year you had John Rahm. The year before that, you've got somebody who's very hot at the moment who probably will win it again.
Oh, Scott Scheffler, correct, sorry. Right. Yeah, Scott Scheffler, okay.
Let's get you...
So... I feel like I need my dates, right? I'm not using Google. I'm just
going to confirm to the listeners he's not using Google.
So 2014
was Bubba.
2015, okay,
was Spieth.
Let me start writing these down because I think I need to.
I would rather have had a pen and paper ready here because the phone does worry me a little bit, but I'm going to trust him.
Matt, can you get me a pen and paper?
Ed's going to get you one.
I can't believe how bad I've been.
No, it's fine because people. It's always easier when you're at home in the car or on the treadmill. When you've got the pressure of tens of thousands of viewers and listeners, Rick, it does get to you.
Now that I've started writing these dates down, I think I know them all.
Okay. Right, so the pen and paper is in. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Oh, I took you two pens as well, two different choices of Sharpie, a thin and a thick.
Okay.
Right.
2014, Bubba.
Bub.
15, Spieth.
Yes.
16, not sure. 17, not sure. 18, not sure. 19, Tiger.
Correct.
20 was Johnson, DJ.
DJ, yeah. It was the year that was in the November.
21 was Scotty.
Nope.
Oh.
22 was Sky.
Oh, 18 I went to, Patrick Reed.
Yeah, yes, correct.
So 18 I knew. So 21, I'll come back to that in a minute. 23 was Rahm.
Yeah. 22 was Scotty. So what are you needing?
16, 17 and 21.
Right, okay, so...
Wait, I think I know this.
21.
So Spieth won it twice.
But his other one was before that.
Oh, was it? Danny Willett.
Correct.
Was 16.
Yes.
I played then. 17.
I can't believe you've not got 17.
Can't believe I've not got 17.
Like, stupid. People at home be like, how the heck have you not got 17?
Okay, I'll come back to that one. 21. That one's a weird one. I can't remember that. John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, 21.
All I'll say about 21 is, I think of his caddy a lot when I think of the win.
Oh, Hideki Matsuyama.
Correct.
Hidek. Right, 17. Think about this, Shields. I'm not looking anywhere else.
I love the fact that this is the one you stuck on.
Adam Scott.
No.
Was that before that?
Yeah.
Was it Adam Scott before? Adam Scott must have been 13.
I think he was.
Bob Watson, Jordan Spieth, Danny Willett, Patrick 17. Who was giving it to Patrick Reed?
I'm not saying anything.
Who was giving it to Patrick? I was there. Garcia.
Yes, your friend.
Garcia. I've actually filmed with Willick Garcia. That's it. Wow.
It's hard, isn't it?
I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm annoyed that I didn't get them quicker.
The ones I think are, I think Matsuyama's one that you can forget, which he did kind of forget.
I
think DJ was an easy one. Tiger was an easy one.
Yeah, DJ, Tiger, John Rahm was easy. Spieth, I remember 15, because I even saw a stat the other day. He joint had the record for the lowest score at 270 over 18 holes, over four rounds of golf. Willett, I did forget, because obviously that was when Spieth kind of blew it away. Garcia in 17, yeah. Patrick Reed, I was there for the 18 one, because he was neck and neck with Ricky Fowler. Tiger, can't forget 19. DJ was it November?
It was the November one because of COVID, pushed it back.
And then, so did it go almost like, was only 5 months between? Yeah. Wow.
Because it went back to normal in 21 when Matsuyama won it.
And then, I must admit, Scott Scheffler was one that I kind of forget. Mm. It's mad really, isn't it?
It feels like a long time ago now, it but does. It also feels not that long ago. It's weird.
And then John Rahm.
Right, well, you got a little round of applause then, Rick, from Ed, when you completed that. You will also be getting a round of applause from hopefully from the audience when they hear that the Hit channel is back this week.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes, so it is official. As soon as we stop recording this podcast, the next half an hour or so, we will be running. No, maybe running's not the right term.
Sprinting.
Skipping. Hand in hand into the Hit studio, the four of us, to make some amazing content, because the Hit channel is back. There's still loads of questions in the group every single week about where's the channel, why do we bother with the channel if it's not going to exist. It's back. We can say that till the cows come home. The proof will be in the pudding this week.
We still get an awful lot of questions, even though I feel like we've explained it a number of times why it's not been around.
I think
around.
A lot of people don't listen every week, and they might catch up on a few podcasts, and then they might be asking the question now and have like a back catalogue of four podcasts to go and then hear the answer. But it is back this week. But I'll give the listeners of the podcast, the hardcore listeners, a little bit of an insight into what we're going to film. And one of the videos we are going to film, which is kind of a bit of a topic for this podcast, is a set of Wilson irons. So there's a set of Wilson Staff Forged, I think they're called Staff Model Forged, whatever, CB irons, which are very similar to a set of irons, Rick, you had in the bag for a while. A little bit of a tweak. They've got like no WS in the badge logo at the back, which is quite cool. It's a bit different. I think it, but it's a little bit weird that you take your branding off an iron.
But it was something we criticised Wilson about not long ago, that their logo hadn't modernised or changed.
True.
And I feel like this is their kind of take on that almost. Like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that's interesting, because their logo is so iconic, but then you've got the shield, which is the iconic bit. Take the WS off, people still know it's Wilson Staff.
Well, one of the topics that I wanted to just touch on was that we've not reviewed those irons yet. Obviously, that will be happening later today. And I can already kind of imagine what they will be like, and I imagine they'll be good. And I don't think that'll be any surprise to most people listening and watching. How good they'll be, it's a different question, but I know they will be good.
I think they're a contender for the bag.
Well, you have been known to use Wilson before. And I think the reason you've used Wilson before, if to be honest, is a bit of an underdog. Mm. The good clubs, not everybody uses them, a bit different, and you kind of like that. And it's kind of got me on this topic of something we've kind of touched on before, but like, why are there certain brands that we know are good, that make good gear, but yeah, aren't always the go-to brand, and the kind of brands that sometimes, if you bought, your friends, your fellow golfers may almost quiz you on and say, why did you get them? And the simple answer should probably just be either I wanted them or hitting the best in the fitting. But brands like Wilson, even Cleveland, sometimes Cobra, Tor Edge, they make product that is good, but it's just not got that sex appeal. How do these brands fix it? Because the reason I ask you this is that those set of irons, I think, cost about £1,000, so they're not cheap. However, they're not as expensive as some of the kind of rival brands. If Wilson said, right, okay, we'd undercut the rival brands and charge £700 for these irons, then that might attract some people, but it would also put a lot of people off. I think, well, they can't be as good as the Cobra or the Titleist or whoever, because they're so much cheaper. So Wilson's stuck in this spot where we need to charge enough to prove that we sit alongside these competitors, but we want to be cheap enough that we can entice. What's the word I'm looking for? Entice.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
People over. What the... And we'll use Wilson in this example. What do Wilson need to do?
You know what? And we are using Wilson for this example. But where my recommendations would probably lie is that you need someone to be able to influence buyers. So, for example, sign a big-name player that's going to use Wilton Irons. But I actually don't know if that's the case anymore.
No?
Because there's been a couple of examples of that over the last few years that hasn't changed the dial. Schrickson.
Yeah.
For example, Schrickson are known for making very, very good products. They probably put all their eggs in a basket by signing Brooks Koepka. At the time, one of the hottest players in the world, still arguably one of the hottest players in the world right now. That's not changed the dial for Schrickson. Unless it might have internally changed the dial, but I think public perception hasn't massively changed. I'd even go as far as saying, well, who does change the dial? Tiger Woods changes the dial. But you look at Tiger, who gets paid again $1 squillion to use Bridgestone golf balls. I don't personally see the uptake of Bridgestone golf balls to be far more than normal. I'm sure there's been an influence, don't get me wrong. But again, if a playing partner, if I said to you next week, you on the first tee, I teed up, oh, what ball are you playing, Rick? I'm playing Bridgestone. You'd be like, are you? Why are you using that? Which is weird, isn't it? Because it's like, well, what can these brands actually do to help influence people to buy it?
Well, if you look now, so I'm sure American Golf could use any website in the UK, golf website obviously in the States, that do this comparison. But those Wilson irons we're about to go and review, for seven irons cost £1,049, right? If you look at something relatively similar from a different brand, Titleist T100, now it might not be an absolute direct comparison, but pretty similar. They are, for seven irons, £1,327. So quick maths, roughly about £300 dearer, which is a lot. The fact that the Wilson are still over £1,000, though, proves that they are premium, you know, top-end, high-performing golf clubs, or should be, for that price. It's not a price point thing, is it? It's not. Is it a branding thing? Like I said, is it the fact that the tour pros who might use Wilson aren't quite as aspirational? Is it the fact that enough golfers haven't tried them? It opens a lot of questions, and I almost sometimes feel sorry for brands like Wilson, because what do they do? How do they get more people to use them?
Because which brands do you feel aren't affected by this? Callaway,
TaylorMade,
Titleist?
Ting and Titleist, I'd say, are the big ones.
They're your four that you don't feel are affected by this.
Well, no, but we could even dial that to another section again. If you think about, Ping, obviously, the well known for their drivers, their irons, and the putters was really how they came into popularity many years ago. even to a degree, you could argue ping wedges, great wedges, expensive wedges. But if you ask a lot of good golfers or serious golfers what wedges have you got, they would obviously typically like Vokey, maybe even Cleveland these. Cleveland in the day, Callaway, TaylorMade even. Does it ping you'd almost question?
So are we scratching ping off this list?
Potentially.
I would say, yeah, I think that's fair. Really, the only brands now, Callaway, mm-hmm. you wouldn't question if anyone was using Callaway, an Odyssey putter.
No. Wedges, no.
Irons, no.
Even
drivers.
Even the ball recently as
you wouldn't. No. I don't think you'd question anyone now using the Callaway ball. Same with TaylorMade.
Yeah, they've done very well.
Like, across every
putters,
category.
Spiders, etc. have done very well.
You would not, if someone had any category of TaylorMade, you wouldn't question it. Titleist again you wouldn't question
best.
It, would you?
Vokeys, Scotty Cameron, Pro V1, the irons, the drivers, three woods, etc.
So instead of looking at what the other brands can do, what have those three brands done really, really well? Like, what have those three brands done better than any other brands?
I think if you look at Titleist in particular, so in the ball, I think there was a stat of like 14 of the first 15 events this year or something like that were won with Pro V1, something like that. The tour presence that they have got on golf ball, well, on all the product, is just insane, isn't it?
What Titleist haven't got is like, they don't go out and sign three of the top 10 players in the world, do they?
No.
Like, nobody ever goes and signs for Titleist, do they?
The only one recently, did Ludvig Åberg, but he's kind of still newer, isn't he?
But as in, like, probably he was already using Titleist. Well, I feel like Titleist never go and sign someone who
always pinched somebody.
Yeah, who was using TaylorMade or Callaway.
I'm trying to think. I can't think.
It feels like it happens the other way a lot.
Yeah. Well, if you look at Titleist, let's have a quick look on the Titleist website. You've got, without looking, you've got Spieth, you've got Justin Thomas, you've got Ludvig now. Let's have a quick look on players. But Adam Scott obviously was always ball.
And doesn't Scotty use the ball?
Scotty Scheffler.
I'm sure he uses Titleist Pro V1 golf ball.
Well, on the website.
What did you say? Wyndham Clark.
Yeah. Victor Hovland's in the ball, Patrick Cantlay's in the ball, Fitzpatrick, Brian Harman, yeah, Wyndham, Spieth, Cameron Young.
Now, what I feel like Titleist do really well, from what I've experienced, is they target the collegiate tour mm-hmm. and the very good amateur players. And they'll look after them with golf balls and they'll supply them gear.
Yep.
Where they'll, you know, someone's on the journey, and often, if you're an up-and-coming, wannabe tour pro, it wouldn't surprise me if you had a Titleist hat on and a load of Pro V1s that you play mm-hmm. with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even someone like our mate, James Robinson.
Yeah.
Like, he was looked after by someone like a Titleist. And even, to be fair, even Ping does a bit of that. I don't feel like TaylorMade or Callaway really ever do that. I feel like TaylorMade and Callaway kind of come in, snatch the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
Once they've got to a certain level, they go, oh, okay, here's a nice enticed offer. Come and you now use everything Callaway, everything TaylorMade.
Well, it feels like certainly as of late, TaylorMade have gone with this kind of fewer, bigger, better approach, haven't they? So if you look at who TaylorMade have got now, and think about the adverts, but the YouTube content they make, they've obviously got Tiger Woods, you've got Rory McIlroy, you've got Scotty Scheffler, you've got Tommy Fleetwood, you've got Colin Morikawa, they did have Jason Day. There's some real strong names there that sell it for them. And solidify that brand.
I'll tell you what's interesting, even just that exercise there, how easy was it for you to rattle off the TaylorMade players than it was against the Titleist or Ping or even Callaway players?
Correct. Nelly Korda as well in the women's game.
Charlie Hull.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'd be able to name you 10 Callaway players.
Go on, have a go.
John Rahm.
Yeah.
Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
Starting to struggle now.
Minwoo
Lee, is that what he said? Who did you say, Ed? Hadwin. I struggle. There's not many.
Let's have a quick look.
There's not as many as there.
So there's Sam Burns. Yeah, there's not, to be fair. Nicolai Højgaard.
So what of Callaway? I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it?
I think as well, it comes over. But isn't there that stat still that Wilson staff have the most major wins
Correct.
Near the brand?
And their irons have won a major, I think, every decade for like the last 5 or 6 decades. No other irons ever done that. No other brand.
Will they win one in this decade?
That's the question.
Harrington, obviously.
It was Gary Woodland who won a major using the Wilson irons. Yeah, but also, if you look at this, Wilson have had that dominance.
Mm.
If we were doing a podcast 50 years ago,
exactly,
Wilson would have been in that conversation, and maybe Callaway wouldn't have been, or TaylorMade wouldn't have been.
Well, TaylorMade were a relatively new brand, aren't they, to a degree?
Does it just go in ebbs and flows? Is it just those three brands now? Like, if you actually look at back in the day, like, Ping was the brand, wasn't it, really? Ping and Wilson were the brands.
I suppose it does, but it'd be like football teams, obviously. You know, Liverpool, thankfully, are doing pretty well now. They were, was it the 80s, they were really good, 70s, 80s, or whatever. And then United were great in the 90s, 2000s. And that comes in ebbs and flows, but that comes down to players, signings, the way the club is run. Things have to change to make a club go up and also to go down again. I suppose with, like, Wilson, they, to them to come back in fashion, so to speak, what they have to do something new, don't they? And they are making good product. The drivers, probably the worst products, although they still are good. The irons are strong, the balls are nice. They do some really nice putters now, like a nice milled putter. Does it come down to branding? Does it come down
But also, going back to your point there, over that period of time, do Wilson as a company put as much emphasis on golf?
Maybe not.
Like, you know, you talk about these ebbs and flows, and even, as you mentioned, in football teams, new ownership comes in, new manager, new players, whatever it may be, they make changes. A bit like all of these brands, like, they would have had new CEOs, they would have had new goals and ambitions to try and hit. Like Callaway, one of their main objectives at the moment, you could question, are they taking their eye off the ball in the golf equipment category for all the things they're doing in Topgolf? And, you know, I'm sure last year their number one selling item was hot dogs, for argument's sake.
That's
like,
crazy,
Callaway never expected that to be the case. But in 5 years, they may go, do you know what? Are we bothered about equipment anymore? We're making so much money in bloody entertainment over here with Top Tracer and Top Golf. Why are we bothering with golf equipment?
Yeah.
And then that might drop off. And Ping, you know, Ping have always stayed a very family run. But obviously, John Solheim, the main guy all those years ago, he's now passed away. Carsten Solheim. John Solheim's now passed it on to his child, who also, I think, called John Solheim Jr. It's like, you've got, as it goes down into a new generation, their tactics and their way of running the business changes, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and it's food for thought. I would love to hear people's opinions on this. Maybe send us an email, podcast@rickshields.com, or comment on the YouTube video or on Facebook or whatever. Why do you buy Wilson, or why don't you buy Wilson? And also use some other brands. This isn't an attack at Wilson, by the way. It could be Cleveland, it could be Ben Ross, it could be Tor Edge. It's those kind of, even Cobra to a degree, I think, do fit into that bracket. And, well, essentially any brand bar those few we mentioned.
Well, I've written a few down. Wilson, Cobra, Bridgestone, Maxfly. It's like, look at Maxfly now. They've just bought, just signed Lexi Thompson.
Yeah.
I'd still be surprised if someone turned up with a Maxfly golf ball.
Strixon's
another one. There'll be loads like Tor Edge, PXG.
Yeah.
Like, where the hell are PXG these days? What are they doing in the world? Anyway.
Do you want a email, Rick?
I would love
so a little dear Rick. We've had a bit of an influx of emails again, which is delightful. So please do again, emails podcast@rickshields.com. We are committed to getting through more of those, and we love your correspondence. One thing I'd forgotten about, because it was so long ago that we used to do this, Rick, was when people put like a clickbait title to draw me in. And again, I'll hold my hands up. I'm like a moth to light. That the what's it called? How do you start an email off the bit at the top? My mind's completely
subject.
Banked. The subject, thank you very much. I feel like you trying to guess who won the 2017 Masters then. It says, guy's my favourite. So because they put that, I got straight in. It's nothing to do with me in the email, but that just got me in. So it said, hi, both. Guy, I have a subject line that grabbed your attention. You did. I'd like to get Rick's thoughts on the below. Okay. I recently moved to a higher-ranked golf club with a mate. The new club allows strangers to tag along to your tee time if you haven't filled all the gaps. This wasn't allowed at my last club. So, for example, if this guy and his mate book a tee time at 10 a.m. and there's only those two on, there's therefore two spots, random members can join that tee time. Given it is only two of us that play, this is likely to happen most weeks. Do you think it's fair? My issue with this is I enjoy the round far more when playing just with my mate. I've had some questionable characters tag along to the tee times before when I've played with guests at other clubs. Notably, a chap who only took driver off the tee regardless of whether it was a par 3 or a par 5. For reference, his driver went about 220 yards. He had to apologise for hitting the next tee box off a par 3. So he was massively overhitting it. What is your verdict? Should this be allowed or not? I hope this gets featured. I'm a member of the clubhouse. I've been listening every week for 2.5 years.
Legend.
So, answer that, Rick. Is it fair? Can you see both sides from the golf club's point of view and from the members' point of view?
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Mm.
I've been very fortunate that that's not really ever happened to me.
No.
Has it happened to you?
I've had it before. I had it once to play golf in Dubai years and years ago, where me and my colleague at the time played a golf course and two random people were paired with us. But I was playing the golf course for free via my old job. So I wasn't too fussed. And ended up being quite a pleasant older couple, so it was fine. It happens in club comps, but you choose to play with random people, and that's part of it. And I suppose the difference with the club comp is you're playing really for that competitive side. Sure. So it's kind of like, right, I'm focused on my own score today. If I get paired with a random guy who's not pleasant or is pleasant, that's just whatever. If it's a Saturday or a Sunday and you're playing golf with your friend for a bit of a catch-up and a bit of just a general nice day out or whatever, and a random person gets put with it, even if they're pleasant, you've got to make forced conversation. You can't have the same conversations you're planning on having. It does change the dynamic massively.
Yeah.
But the golf club are thinking, we've got all these members to service. There's two tee times free on you. There's two spaces on your tee time. Let's fill them.
I know. It is nice to play with other people, definitely. I think where it's got to be somewhat managed is almost being able to put like-minded individuals together, similar golf standards together, potentially. Yeah, is that a doable feat?
The handicapped one is definitely, but doesn't just, you know, you could get paired with someone who's off 5, but you could hate them. Someone off 28 could be brilliant. Like, it's not always, ability does come into it, definitely, but it's not always the, I'd rather play with someone off 28 who's dead sound than someone who's off scratch, who's a tosser.
You'd almost need to be able to, to some degree, have like a way of being able to somewhat vet or filter, have common interests.
Yeah.
Like you'd be able to set up a profile to go, you know, I'm a United fan. I'm from this area.
Not playing with you,
this handicap. Well, you know, that's actually fine. And it might go, well, actually, I think I'd get on with that guy. I think he, a lot of his interests kind of match my interests or whatever it may be.
But how do you go, if you're this guy, I won't say his name, and, you know, you've booked on to play with your friend again, 10 o'clock on a Sunday, and you get there and there's probably almost worse if there's one person, because if there's two who know each other, you could almost go, right, yeah, you do your thing, you will do our thing, to a degree. There's one random person, even if they're all right, like, it is quite awkward, isn't it? You've never met them before.
I'm trying to put myself in that situation.
And I think it's a mindset thing. Again, as a golfer, I think most people, one of the bizarre things, I've said this before with golf is, if you gave me a random person, right, and said, right, you've got to sit in the car and go to Scotland with this person who I've never met, it's going to be so awkward. I'm thinking, what am I saying? What do we talk about? Oh, I don't like it. That same person, you go in saying, right, you're going to play 18 holes of golf together. It's weirdly fine. It's just something about it that makes it fine. And I think most golfers could agree with that, and it'll at least resonate with that to a degree because of in club comps this happens. But it is different in a friendly game of golf, because it is more, you should be chatting and it's not as serious and there's a random person there.
It happens in America a lot more. Mm. I think it happens in the UK. There's, you know, St. Andre's, you know, the funny Instagram page.
I saw that one recently.
They've done a few funny sketches where it's like a two ball turned up to the actual tee and the starter goes, "Are you just a two?" And, "Oh yeah, we're just the two, all right." And he says, "Well, I've got someone to play with," and it's like some bizarre person who's going to play with them.
Question for you then. Let's take Rick Shields back 15 years or so, whatever it was, and you're back in the Mir Pro Shop. I'm a member, and my mate Ed is a member as well. Me and Ed book a four ball. We get in on Sunday at 10 o'clock, and we go, "Oh yeah, sorry, we're not a four ball anymore, only a two." And we go, "Oh, okay." We go and play. Nobody joins us because it's too short notice. Next week happens again. We book on for a four. Just me and Ed turn up. "Oh yeah, sorry, our playing patterns haven't turned up." Third week comes about. Same happens again. Would you start to say something? Say, "Look, why are you booking for a four and only two of you come? We've done it to make sure that no one joins us and last minute cancel those two." Would you have an issue with it as a pro shop employee, or would you just let it slide?
It depends on
factors.
So many factors. Like, is that how I'm being judged? Like, are my bosses, is my pro or the club owner putting pressure on me, or the committee putting pressure on me to make sure that every tee time is full so we capitalise the revenue streams? Or is it my gig and I'm like, "I quite like guy.
Let him slide.
Quite like guy, Ned. Go on, lads. Have fun."
Yeah.
It's a little treat on me.
What about then? The easiest way to do it would be to book on for a four for this guy and his friend and say, "Oh, we might have two joining us." So they just put like a line through the name or whatever.
The biggest challenge, I don't think it'll be the club the pro shop. It's a similar story to we had last week. I actually think other members will pull you up before the club would. I think other members would go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 we're getting put with Tom, Dick and Harry. Why a guy and Ed being able to do what they want?
Yeah.
It's a really tricky one. I don't know the answer because I understand it from a golf club standpoint. They've got tee times, they've got to fill them. But from a golfer standpoint, and you're there, you're going out with your mate, nice little two ball, do you really want to have someone random join you? It's a really tough one. I don't know.
No,
but on that, you have got to look at it in a positive light that you never know what these partnerships can blossom into.
No.
Potentially you get put with, you might get put with the love of your life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What would be three ideal situations then? So this guy's called George. I can say his first name because there's nothing behind it. So George tees up with his friend. He gets put with the love of his life.
Yeah.
Whoever that may be.
I mean, if Melissa and Scarlett suddenly turn up on the first tee. Yeah.
Or Michael and Stephen.
Stephen. You might go, okay.
Yeah, we can make this work. We can have a foursome.
I'm game.
Yep, for a foursome.
Where are my car keys?
Or it could be that George tees off and he gets put out with an older gentleman, let's just say. And he says, "Hi, my name's Michael and I am George. I have 18 years." Michael says, "You know what? I've actually got a very successful business. It's got a turnover of £17.2 million a year. But I've got any family, no friends. So I'd like to put in my will."
Great. I really like that bar you made on 7.
Yeah, so then George becomes a multimillionaire. That could work.
I mean, that's a scenario.
Yeah. There's lots of different scenarios. Or he could be a football fan. He could get put into a group with a guy who's got a season ticket who that next weekend can't make the game. You've put the same team. You're Coventry City fans, let's just say. Next thing you go into Coventry City.
Or
go on.
You get put with a stalker.
Of George.
No, if you're there,
yeah,
okay, you're teeing off and someone turns up going, "Hi. Hi guy.
I knew you're teeing off at 12:04 today.
I listened to you on the podcast. I really wanna can I play golf for you?
I quite like that.
Can I come around to your house?
Yep.
What day do you take your bins out?
Tuesday. Wednesday this week's Spring Bank holiday.
If you find me in it, then I was just...
You'll find plenty of Easter egg boxes, my friend.
I think, there's lots of different outcomes. I think embrace them all. From a stalker to a new love of your life.
So just to clarify, you can confirm on this podcast, Rick, you are always open to extending to a threesome or a foursome.
Always.
Never say no. Very good. Very mature.
I've just had a few flashback nightmares.
Of?
The pen that Ed gave me before.
Mm.
I didn't realise at the time, and this is why. It's ironic that it was the person who I didn't guess name, 2017.
Yeah.
Because the pen is actually from...
Oh my days. So the pen has got the name of the golf course on that you played with Sergio Garcia in a 10-shot challenge, and that very pen used to not even write... Well, write the year down that he won, but not his name, because you forgot.
He was the last person to write down, and I'm actually holding a Spanish Oaks golf club pen.
Wow.
It's also giving me terrible flashbacks.
Wow. Okay, one last email before we wrap this up, and we'll jump into the clubhouse episode, which will be out on Friday. It is from, I won't say his name, he just says golf club. It says, "Hi guys, I just wanted to stay on the membership topic you touched on in the latest podcast. We talked about memberships and the price, etc. I'm a member of Stockport Golf Club, great course, and I have been for the last 6 years. I'm 38 years old with a young family, and the membership is £2,000. You guys played it a few times, which we have, and it's a lovely golf course, but is any membership at a local club worth £2,000? On top of this, they have a joining fee of £2,000, which is extortionate and pricing young members out of joining. What young member has £2,000 just to simply join the golf club, then with the fee on top? What's your stance on this, and how do we combat this problem to get more young members joining golf clubs? Because if it stays like this, it will always be the rich old members at golf clubs."
Yeah, I think it's difficult. If a golf club is charging a joining fee, it typically means they're oversubscribed.
Yeah.
So that would tell me that Stockport Golf Club's doing pretty well. Like, it's not needing members. Stockport is a lovely golf course, and I suppose to some degree you've got to pay the fee for a lovely golf course. I think if you're not looking to pay the £2,000 joining fee, you've got to look at potentially a cheaper golf course that maybe isn't quite as lovely. There's still ways of playing golf. It's a bit like the analogy that we've always spoke about. It's like golf is too expensive, golf equipment is too expensive. Well, it is if you want the latest Callaway, TaylorMade, Ping, yeah. Titleist. It is expensive. But it doesn't mean you can't go and spend 80, 90 quid on a set of golf clubs and go and play golf at a £20 municipal golf course.
Well, that's the thing. And as well, when you think about price of things, something's only too expensive if people won't pay for it. And what I mean by that is, obviously, Stockport Golf Club is a great golf course. Actually, we really like it. We're saying here that it would be £4,000 essentially to join, £2,000 upfront, then £2,000 for the year, and then £2,000 every year. There must be people paying that.
Of course there is.
And it's, you know, and if there wasn't and Stockport was going out of business, then they'd have to look at that. And it's a bit like a silly analogy, I know, but one thing that I always get baffled by, and it borderline infuriates me, and sorry if this offends anybody on the podcast, I'm sure it won't do. When you go to like Selfridges or walk through in the Trafford Centre and you see kids' clothing and it's literally a Burberry coat that's honestly the size that you put on a doll and it's like 500 quid. And you think, who on earth is buying that coat for 500 quid? Or little like Dior trainers or whatever, Dolce & Gabbana. And again, 500 quid for like literally a toddler's shoe that are going to wear for 2 months, get destroyed. But obviously, there must be a market for
there
that
is.
Because it's been around for all my lifetime and obviously long before that. If it wasn't, nobody was buying it, it would just cease to exist. Now, I think that is ridiculous and it borderline stinks, but that's irrelevant what I think, because some people want to buy that. And it's about that with the golf course. So if there's a golf course what's charging £100,000 a year, which there are globally, to me that is absolutely madness. But the people that can afford it, that want to pay it, it must be of worth something to them, of value, whatever that looks like, whether it's just prestige or whether it's the contacts that you make there or the facilities or the quality of the course, etc.
Or just that you've got the money.
Well, yeah, or you've got the money. And it's like, I understand from our point of view as consumers, when we want something or we aspire to own something, whether that be an iPhone or a laptop or a car or a member of a golf club, that aren't necessities, we've not really got a leg to stand on, because that is the price of that thing. Like, you know, it's all well and good slagging Apple off for charging £1,200 for a phone, but you don't need it. You know, it's not a basic function that we have to have. You can buy a cheaper smartphone. You want an Apple phone because of what it stands for and what it looks like and what it offers, etc. So I am with this person. I do get it. It's frustrating that golf clubs are expensive, but if you don't like that, join a cheaper golf club and get a worse product.
Yeah, I think you've chosen some great examples there. And you know, it can go across everything. Like, everyone in the world could have a week off in August. Mm. And that week off in August, you get to go on holiday. Well, everyone's holiday is going to be priced differently, aren't they?
Yeah.
For their needs and their requirements and their salaries, etc. Like, that's just the way of the world. And not defending or being harsh on Stockport at all, but if they think their product is worth that much money, so be it.
Yeah. I think one thing that I sometimes do get with golfers is when, like, all the big brands, and again, you don't have to buy new gear, I get that, but like when Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, Ping, Mizuno, all these brands that are premium, but also like the standard brands, if you like, over the last 5 or 10 years, their prices have gone up a lot. So I can, to a degree, understand why that annoys people, because you might have bought a new driver 6 years ago and it's £300, and now the same, essentially, new driver, £700. It's annoying. But again, you don't have to buy it. But I don't really then get it when people are annoyed at brands like Honma that charge a fortune. And there's actually a question for the Friday podcast we're going to do in a minute about Honma. Because if they're £10,000 for a set of irons, people must be spending that, or else they got out of business. So it's like, it's not our right almost to be annoyed about that. It's not for, if you're annoyed about it, it's not for you, essentially.
And I suppose for Honma, their business model might be, we only have to sell one set a month compared to another brand who has to sell 1,000 sets that month.
It's like when you look on, I always see it on Instagram, like Conor McGregor's wearing like a £2 million watch or something, and it's just ridiculous in my eyes. It's just crazy. But these brands must be selling product, and it's not for us to get a note. It doesn't affect us, does it? But if it became a compulsory thing where to tell the time it cost £50 every time you want to look at the time, that would be unfair to the human race. It would be ridiculous, but that's not the case. So yeah, I get it, but I don't get it. If it's too expensive and you don't think it's worth it, join somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's not... Golf clubs should do everything they can to continue the growth of junior golf and younger members coming through. They should do, definitely. Mm-hmm. And they should... I think we touched on it even last weekend, like the membership should be tapered to some degree. But if they feel like they can charge that and get enough footfall and their future plans for the next 50 years are safe, well, go for it.
I think as well, last thing on that again, I think every golf club should aspire to have a junior section. I was obviously a junior golfer and it was a great time in my life, and it helped you develop into a golfer longer term. And it actually should be valuable for a golf club. I also think there's something, I don't think there's anything wrong with having golf clubs that are more aspirational, that maybe you can't join when you're in your early 30s because you maybe can't afford it, that actually when you get to your early 40s, you might have more disposable income, you might have had kids who are a bit more grown up, that then you can finally join. I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily, that it's something that you do later in life that you almost achieve. Because again, if you look at a lot of blokes who are like in the early 50s who have had decent enough careers, they might have a nice Rolex or might have finally got around to having that nice BMW they wanted that they've had to work for. They didn't get straight out of uni or in the first job or when they were 30 or 35, but when they reached 50 or 55, they treated themselves. I don't mind that. There's something about it that it is aspirational. It makes people continue to work hard. Very deep, this anyway.
It is.
Great. I'll see you on Friday.
See you Friday for a nice chilled out episode of the Clubhouse. Thanks for listening, thanks for watching, and we shall see you very soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.